Following is a one-minute introduction, which will be followed by the treatment. To find out about the founding of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, which was founded in 1988 by William and Helen Wright, please navigate to the menu, which is in the top left corner of every page, and select About, which is near the bottom of the menu. If you would like to contact us in a private, secure manner, please send a message which is obtained from clicking on the Contact button, which is next to the About selection at the bottom area of the menu. This is the end of the introduction. The extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute follows. The topic for this prayer treatment is System 32 Planks, number 2 of 32. On page 146, Mary Baker Eddy makes this statement. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. On page 330, she follows it up with this statement. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. There are three introductory quotes at the very beginning of the textbook, which is Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. They are as follows. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. From John 8:32. And that's quoting Jesus. The second quote, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. And the third quote, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker G. Eddy. She later dropped the G, thinking her name was too long. It represented the name Glover. At the top of the list, in studying Christian Science, we are always looking for the truth. That's the first quote. And second of all, we must understand that nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. If we're using spiritual thinking, the thinking of the divine mind, reflecting the intelligence, wisdom, and knowing of God, as represented by the term divine mind, then we will find the truth. Einstein states, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. As we study the textbook, we will find that each time that we read a particular sentence, we may get an entirely fresh meaning from it. It's not a book that can be read and the same meaning comes to us over and over. There is a new enlightenment with the very same sentence or thought, and we must be alert to it if we're going to be experiencing what Mary Baker Eddy calls infinite progression is concrete being. Concrete being a symbol of permanence. The only way we can be permanently embedded with God is to be constantly studying and progressing so that we can become more advanced as we study on a continuous basis. She notes on page 115 and 116 four different levels of understanding. The highest is immortal mind, and the three lower ones are under mortal mind, and she calls them 3 degrees. The lowest one is depravity, and the other two are in between. You are encouraged to look at those two pages, 115 and 116, where they are explained in detail. Following is the text for number 2 of 32 of the platform planks. The title to the paragraph, The Deific Definitions. God is what the scriptures declare him to be. Life, truth, love. Spirit is divine principle, and divine principle is love, and love is mind, and mind is not both good and bad, for God is mind. Therefore, there is in reality one mind only, because there is one God. On page 465, Mary Baker Eddy gives this definition of God. Incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On page 587, she gives a little different variation, the same 7 terms for God, but she gives different words that she emphasizes that are within those 7 terms. She says, God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. If one looks up the word great, they will find that it is quite different from how it is used in current language. Great is a very common word which we believe when we use it to be referring to something that's really wonderful. But in the dictionary, if you look up the real meaning of the word, it means that it is the greatest, not just good or really good, but there's only one great. And if there's only one, then it must be God, because there is nothing more superior than God. In fact, the definition in the first one that was read on 465 says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite. Incorporeal refers to being bodiless. In other words, God is spirit, not matter. God is invisible, not visible. We can see the effect of God in symbols, but God itself is invisible because it is of the substance of spirit. The second term is divine. Divine is always referred to as something that is perfect, and people do usually refer to that in a very spiritual way, or referring to something that's very perfect, absolutely without flaw, which is very appropriate if we're going to be describing God. The third word is supreme. Now, this relates to what we're talking about in the other definition where we talk about great, which means there is nothing higher. And here she uses the word supreme. So they basically are tantamount in that respect, in that they are at the peak and there's nothing higher. And then, of course, the fourth word in the first definition is infinite. So in the second definition, she says God is the great, and then I am. Now, I am was first used by Moses when God revealed himself to Moses as being I am that I am. God was really speaking to Moses, telling him that anything that exists is God expressed in those symbols. I am this, I am that. I am doing this, I am doing that. In other words, anything that refers to an individual which is implying action or a quality, the proper use is really referring to God, that is the action or the quality, if it's real. If it's real means that it's perfect, and it has to be of the substance of spirit, not a flawed object or thing that is relating to materiality. John asked Jesus, is there a material body? And Jesus said, no. John then asked, is there a material universe? And Jesus said, almost everyone believes that there is, but there is none. The answer is no. We are tricked. We are deceived by a belief that there is a mind separate from God that is called mortal mind or brain or personal sense that has a personal identity. Mary Baker Eddy capitalizes in the textbook any word that refers to God. So if the word soul is capitalized and soul represents personal sense on a material basis, but spiritual sense, if you're looking for the real soul, and soul is the term to describe identity. We utilize seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, and taste in order to identify whatever it is that is the topic. If we identify something looking through the lens of spirit, then we're going to find the truth. If we identify something looking through a belief that matter is real, then we cannot even see or know or understand what we're looking at. Because materiality cannot identify or even be aware of anything that is of the substance of spirit. When one looks at something and identifies it, they are identifying their own belief about what they're gazing upon. That second quote from Shakespeare is very apropos here. He says, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What kind of thinking are we using when we identify anything at all? If it is to be identified properly with facts, then it's going to be identified as flawless spirit. That's the only real substance. And it's so flawless that it is totally transparent. And being transparent and flawless, it is totally reflective. And that's what gives us the ability to reflect the qualities of God. What does God say in Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 26? It reads as follows. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Notice the first thing God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Have you ever realized what it's telling us here? God says we have to let. It says, let us make man in our image. Let. A common picture of Jesus is him standing at a door and knocking on the door. That has been interpreted to mean he is knocking on our door of consciousness. Are we going to open it? Are we going to let in the truth that Jesus talks about all the time? Or are we going to shun away from it and go about our merry way, wallowing in a life of matter, of mortal mind, sensuality, selfishness, etc.? Just look at the lowest level on page 115 where it says depravity, and it lists all of these lower evils. Is that where we want to be devoting our effort? 1,440 minutes a day, which is how many minutes there are in a 24-hour period? Is that where we want to be with our consciousness? Are we aware that our thinking is creating our own existence, and our lack of spiritual thinking is going to let us have an experience which is not desirable. It might be enticing to the material senses, but it has no lasting value, and it is not spiritual. For it is not letting us make man in our image and likeness. It is letting us make ourselves in a world of mesmerism, hypnotism, you name it. Anything unlike God can be put into that sentence. Because God is spirit, and spirit is flawless. Not an ounce of anything unlike God. He didn't make man to be corrupt. On page 442, Mary Baker Eddy says that we should be a law unto ourselves. In the manual, under a category of obedience, there is this statement: rule for motives and acts. Neither animosity nor mere personal attachment impels my motives or acts. In science, divine love alone governs man, and I reflect the sweet amenities of love in rebuking sin, in true brotherliness, charitableness, and forgiveness. I daily watch and pray to be delivered from all evil, from prophesying, judging, condemning, counseling, influencing, or being influenced erroneously. As a word of explanation, I personalize this by putting in I reflect the sweet amenities of love. I daily watch and pray. And this is what we should do. We should individualize quotations and whatever we read in the textbook, unless it's about evil. We should put our own identity in there to reinforce what we should be doing as our model, what we should be thinking, how we should be acting. It's easy to do the same thing with the six tenets, or she calls it the important points of Christian Science. It's in the manual and is also on page 497 of the textbook. Whenever we read something, we want to relate to it individually for our own thinking and own reinforcement. On page 8 of Miscellaneous Writings, she has an article entitled Love Your Enemies. We should put our own identity in there. Not your. She's talking to us, and she refers it to herself, I'm sure. She prayed hourly to make sure that she was only thinking perfect thoughts about everyone and everything. Hourly, she reminded herself of the discipline that she herself needed to follow. She's made the statement that she studied science and health herself. Because she was not the author, she was an author under orders of the divine mind. Spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. On page 587 of the glossary, she defines the word good. She defines it as God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And she further defines omniscience as omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. If we're going to use those terms and what they represent as our guide, we will not have any problem at all being obedient to the standard of the system of divine metaphysics. Christian Science is much more than just a religion. It is science, the science on which Jesus' healings were based. We are missing the light in Christian Science if we do not study sincerely the system of divine metaphysics. Einstein stated that science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. Do we want to leave out the science? And with the science, do we want to leave out the religion? The religion is the pursuit of truth. The first quotation from Jesus, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Do we want to leave that out? Then we may as well leave out the quote from Shakespeare, "Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." So just let anything at all into our consciousness, accept it, live it, and live in constant ups and downs. No stability, no truth to rely on, because it's going to be diluted with error. We're going to have 3 times 7 equal 20 or 22 instead of 21. Oh, that's okay, no problem. Being off just a little bit, that's not a problem. Well, why don't you try building a skyscraper and be off just a little bit on your calculations and find out what happens? An architect and engineering firm, I'm sure, must have staff go over every detail multiple times. They check the work of everyone, I am sure, multiple times, because they cannot afford a mistake. When you're standing 1,000 feet in the air, or I don't know how tall the tallest building is now, probably 2,000 feet, you want to make sure that there's no mistake in the architectural design and the structural design and the materials that are used. You don't want to mix good materials with bad. As a matter of fact, they're finding out that when China sold steel to the United States, it was at a very cheap price, and many companies purchased it. I'm wondering if some of these catastrophes that we're seeing, such as bridges falling down and so forth, could be traced to trying to cut corners on the quality in order to deliver a lower price. Let's take a look at each individual thought in this plank number 2. God is what the scriptures declare him to be: life, truth, love. Life is living the qualities of God. Truth is staying on track, making sure we don't waver from the truth. We don't accept any error or mistake. We don't accept mortality as being real. we don't accept a DNA of Adam and Eve as our DNA. We take seriously what it states in Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26, that was read at the beginning of this prayer treatment. That's who we are. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We must open our thought to let that be our guide of who we are and who everyone is. That should be how we think about anyone that comes to thought, especially someone that we disagree with or we have an opinion of which is not very Christian, not very perfect. An opinion of criticism. Dr. Fluno, one of Mary Baker Eddy's first lecturers, wrote an article and lectured on it. The title was Criticism. And he says that all evil comes from criticism. All. Not just part, but criticism leads to all evil. It is highly recommended that you read his short letter, I think it's about a page and a half, on criticism. We all get caught in that web of disapproving of what someone else is doing, and probably we will find that it is none of our business what they're doing. Are we living a life of perfection? Are we walking on water? Can we transport ourselves from one place to another, as did Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy? Can we heal anything we're faced with or help someone else heal anything they're faced with if they come to us for assistance? Can we manage a 15-minute appointment like Wentworth Winslow and Joel Goldsmith and Frederick L. Rawson did, and at the end of that 15 minutes, the healing was complete? Can we do that? Then we better be careful about our opinions of other people, and we better look in the mirror and see if we are acting like it states in verse 26 of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. How about the definition of man on page 591? The compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. On the same page, 591, she defines mind as follows: the only I or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love, the one God, not that which is in man, but the divine principle or God of whom man is the full and perfect expression. Deity, which outlines but is not outlined. Notice that says the only I or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love, the one God. Genesis 1 stated to let us make man in the image and likeness of God. And she defines here what us is. The only I or us. This is mind she's talking about. The definition of mind on page 591. So mind is the only I or us. The only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love, the one God. So when God says, let us make man in the image and likeness, he's talking about mind. Are we following the qualities of mind in everything we think about, everything we talk about, and everything we do? Motive is truth. That is consciousness. We have to open our consciousness to the truth, and the truth is mind, the only I or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love, the one God. This is really eye-opening. This is a very important revelation. This is what we find when we study and when we record. New ideas evolve. New understanding, new enlightenment. Very important part of genuine pursuit of the truth. What else is in the second plank of 32 planks? I'll reread from the beginning. God is what the scriptures declare him to be. Life, truth, love. Spirit is divine principle, and divine principle is love. And love is mind. And mind is not both good and bad, for God is mind. Therefore, there is in reality one mind only, because there is one God. The textbook states that there is no such thing as mortal mind, because mind is immortal. By stating the two words together, mortal mind, we're saying positive negative. Because mortal is negative and mind is positive. There's only one real mind, and that's the mind of God, as it states right here. And remember, we need to understand both the letter and the spirit in order to be successful in demonstrating the infallibility of divine metaphysics. Therefore, there is in reality one mind only, because there is one God. John L. Sinton was a very genuine student of Christian Science and the system of divine metaphysics, and this is what he states about the second plank. The nature and essence of the individual infinite is defined here through the synonymous terms life, truth, love. These three terms interpret a very subjective sense of the divine being. As a trinity, they convey one aspect of divine principle, namely structure. Spirit, love, and mind are used also to interpret principle, to indicate its oneness and freedom from dualism, good and bad, with one mind. Spirit is the starting point. So we have to understand what substance we're dealing with in order to be making sure that we're talking about truth and not a mistake, which of course would be error, any fallacy, any impurity, because spirit is flawless. And we can't be thinking, talking, or acting with anything other than a pure motive and a pure consciousness, which is awareness of what we are thinking, talking, and doing. We need to be like a lighthouse. Very quiet. Just letting its light shine. Everyone needs to be an example. We need to constantly refer to our individual model that we have put together with the truths that we have learned from our study. We are constantly barraged, as Mary Baker Eddy states, with mortal mind suggestions. There is no real mortal mind, but there appears to be. And we're barraged with all of these fallacies about our heritage, who we are right now, suggestions and temptations to drag along with us all the mistakes that we've made, all the corrections that need to be made, and we can be burdened forever. Everyone has a closet full, and it's not even organized, probably. It's probably just like a closet that has everything thrown in on the floor. No shelves, nothing to use for hangers, just a pile of garbage. Because it's air. In this case, I'm just using it as a symbol. It's error. It's false thoughts about the real man of God. You and me. Who we are. And everyone. We have a choice. What are we going to do about it? Do we want to be on the path of infinite progression, striving for concrete being? All of the tools are readily available. Imagine how it was in the times of Jesus. You didn't have a cell phone to just find out anything you needed by just punching a few keys on the keyboard on the cell phone. And they have very reasonable prices on worldwide access, no matter where you are. The whole globe is covered with one of the services. The man that is responsible for developing the Doge department, DOGE, for the government. He did a wonderful thing of finding tons of corruption and waste, duplication, things that weren't being used that have monthly or annual fees. What he accomplished in 6 months is beyond vocabulary. He was really ready to go. At 2 o'clock the morning after the inauguration of the president, 6 months ago. Unbelievably wonderful were the accomplishments of him and his team, which he had already totally vetted, and they were ready to go. They knew exactly what to do. They had all of the equipment ready to go, and they did it. We need to be that ready every day on what we're going to do. We need to plan. In fact, there was a prayer treatment just completed in the last few days And the title is Plan, View, Do, and Be. So the first step is we have to plan. How do we do that? We utilize the qualities of God. The second thing is, after planning, we need to make sure that we're following the warning by Shakespeare. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. We have to have the correct view, the spiritual view, of what we're doing. When Jesus saw someone that was blind or even dead, or anything in between, he had to immediately replace what the material picture seemed to be with a picture of reality, which was the true man. Like the definition that was read a few moments ago. He had to make sure he had the image of perfection in his consciousness in order to reflect it out, which is a quality of spirit, reflection, and bring forth the truth about the individual instead of accepting a lie, accepting that the man was of the progeny of Adam and Eve. The doing, that's demonstrating. We have a plan. We have the correct view. And now we have to prove that we have the correct plan and an effective view to bring forth the demonstration. And once we do, then we are being the child of God, being the idea of perfection, not a flawed mortal, which is what the suggestion would be from a so-called mortal mind or a brain. Mary Baker Eddy was having a biography written under her direction by one of her students. And after they had done some extensive work on it, she realized that she doesn't want to produce a biography that is a focus on all of the activities in her life. She wanted to be a symbol of following the truth, not human history. And so she ceased to work on it. Are we going to do that? Are we willing to cease the work on thinking of ourselves as inferior to perfection? Or are we going to see the perfect man when we think about who we are and who anyone else is that comes to thought? We're going to be busy enough thinking about our own self and getting our own consciousness clear about ourselves, to not be concerned about others, which really is not our business anyway, unless they're a dependent. We must let everyone work out their own salvation. We don't want anyone trying to mess around with ours, and we don't want to be messing around with someone else's. Mary Baker Eddy says we have plenty to do to take care of our own thinking. Are we going to do it? Are we going to mind our own business? Are we going to do our own filtering when any kind of a suggestion comes to the forefront of our thought? Wentworth Winslow says, think of yourself being in a room. And there's a radio in there that is tuned in to station KOG, Kingdom of God, that does nothing but announce the qualities of God. And there's a telephone in there that is ringing its head off, which is making mortal mind suggestions, all packed in the phone as soon as we pick it up. But are we going to open that channel and listen? Are we going to let the salesman get his foot in the door of our consciousness? If it's Christ Jesus, come on in. But it better be something that is a perfect representation of the truth if we're going to let it in our consciousness. We have a choice how we use every single moment of our life. Every single one. There must be like an infinite number every day, because a moment is defined as the smallest amount of time. You can't divide it. I mean, we think about a huge number of things every day. If we're at work, in an office atmosphere, and walk to the drinking fountain, there are many, many moments just in that little exercise that may take no longer than a minute or two, depending on where the drinking fountain is and where we were at the moment. Are we utilizing that time? Mary Baker Eddy says, the difference between success and failure is often directly related to how we use the moments. You can bet that she utilized her moments in a most productive way, as did Jesus and these other people that are advanced Christian Scientists that healed in 15 minutes. The opportunity that lies before us is immeasurable, totally immeasurable. We have all the tools that one could ever dream of. They have television screens as large as you want it. You can go to these speeches outdoors or to a sports activity, and they have these huge screens up. Computers, so inexpensive. I remember the first 21-inch screen. I paid $2,500 US for it. $2,500. Now what's the price? $50? $100? I saw a 75-inch when I was shopping the other day, and it was only $600 for a 75-inch. $600. Unbelievable how inexpensively you can put together any kind of a computer system that gives you all the tools you could imagine to have instant access to any of Mary Baker Eddy's writings. The writings of, we have over 100 authors on our website. I don't know how many pages we have. If you click on a link, it's hundreds and hundreds, if not into the thousands. Some authors, we have many pages on just one author's writings. We have one author that we have over 100 MP3s. I think it's more like 150. Most people have a cell phone, and you can listen to anything you want to while you're transporting. These people walk down the street these days and they're holding their phone out and they're looking at what's on the screen of their phone while they're walking. And if they're not doing that, they're talking on the phone, on the cell phone. And they have things totally wireless, although there's not so much privacy because other people can be hearing it. Although I guess you can put a earbud in your ear. Richard Strain was at the end of his rope. He was working 18 hours a day, according to his own testimony that's on our website. And he wasn't getting anywhere in his life. So he went to a Christian Science practitioner. And he told his woes to her. And the first thing she said was, "When do you study?" He was shocked that she asked him the question because he had already told her his schedule. When was he going to study? He was away from his home at work or traveling to and from 18 hours a day. When was he going to study? He was only home 6 hours. He needed to eat, prepare to sleep and get up and prepare for the day and eat and then leave. All in 6 hours. When was he going to study? I'm just thinking that's probably what went through his thinking. It doesn't give a description in his testimony about this. And she said one more thing. If you don't study 5 hours a day, you will not make the progress that you need to make to get out of your hole. And then she was quiet. During the whole time he was there, she said those two things, period. And that was the end of the conversation. She didn't push him out the door, but he had to contemplate to try to digest what she said. He was probably trying to figure out in his thought, how in the world is he going to study any, let alone 5 out of the only 6 hours left when he got home. He was apparently dedicated in heart to Christian Science because he couldn't see any other solution. So he wanted to rely on Christian Science for his problem solving. So finally, after he churned it around, he doesn't say whether he figured out how to do it, but I would guess that he did not. But he didn't have a choice. He went to the one that he trusted to tell the truth. So he made one statement. Okay, I'm going to do it. And the way he presented it, you can just imagine that he had no idea how he was going to do it. But he made a commitment. He didn't say, I'm going to think about it. He didn't say, are you sure that's the only answer? No other comments. And he doesn't tell what went through his thought while he was there with the practitioner. But he did say that that was it. She didn't say anything else. And then he left. Christ Jesus says that we should talk very little. He gives an example. He says, say yea, yea, or nay, nay. In other words, yes or no. Let the other person ask you a question and then say yes or no. What do we learn when we talk? What can we learn if we listen? I will close by reading a prayer treatment by Mary Baker Eddy entitled Diapason of Heaven. And she prepared 7 of them, one for each of the 7 terms for God. I will mention a couple of other things before we terminate, and that is that Helen Wright and her husband were the founders of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. The Mary Baker Eddy Institute was the first one on the internet that had anything to do with Mary Baker Eddy or Christian Science. And that was in 1988. She spent her entire adult life pursuing the understanding of Mary Baker Eddy's writings. She was a prolific writer. She wrote some of the most valuable books you can ever read. She totally covered the first edition, the 1875 edition, with a separate volume on each one of the chapters in that book. And her 7th book was on the 1910 edition. In it, there are 7 chapters from chapter 4 to 10, each one representing one of the 7 synonymous terms. The first one is on mind, second one on spirit, and so forth. It is recommended, and this is under our button in the header, which is on every page of the website. Every page has the header at the top and the button that says Heal Everything. We give you step-by-step instructions, which of course is expanded in these prayer treatments, but we give you step-by-step instructions on how to do that. The study program that you need to follow with strict discipline in order to do it. And I will tell you one thing right now, that most people are not aware of because their actions totally ignore it, and that is that you must have the right frame of thought before you even begin. And as soon as you begin, you have to start praying hourly, just like Mary Baker Eddy did. Now remember, she talks about the moments. You could, for example, refer to one of the definitions of God. And you could repeat it in a matter of a few seconds. And then apply it to yourself. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. You can say, I'm a reflection of God. Therefore, I am incorporeal. I reflect the power of God. I reflect the perfection of God. I reflect the intelligence of mind, the knowing, the wisdom. I reflect the substance of spirit, not matter. I'm not going to let matter lead me down the primrose path that has a big dead end. I'm going to use my spiritual senses, reflecting them from God, for everything I identify. And I'm going to live under a structure with a system that is based on the system of divine metaphysics. And I'm going to live the life of expressing God's qualities. And I'm going to make sure I stay on the path of truth and use the discipline not to waver off into the thousands of different directions that are nothing but dead ends. And I'm going to express love to everyone on an impersonal basis. Because I know that I have to develop a life of giving. And that is a quality of love. Amen. There you go. What did it take? A couple of minutes? That's all you need to do. Do that hourly. If you sleep 6 hours a night, you do that 18 times. If you sleep 12 hours a night, you do it 12 times. So you decide how much of your life you're going to give to Adam and Eve. And how much you're going to devote to being alive. Because death is the opposite of life. And if you're alive doing productive things, that's the opposite of being dead. If you're asleep 12 hours a day, that's the same as being unconscious, which is what you are. So you may be interested in checking out the button that says Heal Everything. It gives complete details on how to do it. And I'll say one more thing. You have to record everything. You record the original text that you read. And then you put it in your own words after contemplating it, and you record that. And then you listen to the recording. You should have it on a portable media that it's with you wherever you go, and you can listen for a few moments or minutes. There's plenty of opportunities to utilize as much of the 24 hours as you want to utilize in a constructive manner to give you an absolutely new dimension and transform your life from whatever it is right now to something better, something higher, something more spiritual, more productive, more loving, with more intelligence and wisdom and knowing, with a better view of your spiritual nature, with a better view of how you're going to identify things, with a better structure in a system, with a better life of expressing God's qualities, and a better opportunity to stay on the path of truth and to bring it all together in the fulfillment of love. And remember the four operators. Mathematics has 10 digits of 0 to 9. It has four operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And it has various levels of consciousness and understanding. Well, the system of divine metaphysics has the elements of the seven synonymous terms. It has four operators, which are called the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, as was explained in this prayer treatment. And it has the four levels, also referred to in this prayer treatment, from page 115 and 116. Stay on the track, and you will get a better appreciation of every word you read from either Mary Baker Eddy or the advanced students. And the advanced students, not or. Okay, I will now recite a prayer treatment that Mary Baker Eddy herself says we should repeat often. We put emphasis on making sure that we identify things with the spiritual senses instead of a so-called material sense. So I shall read the diapason of heaven for soul by Mary Baker Eddy, presented to her class, her final class in the Metaphysical College of 1898. We must hold soul in consciousness only as a sacred name for God. We have to rise above the belief that soul is an invisible personality residing in a fleshly form with a personal identity. Soul must be recognized as a name for God, and a name by which God is to be worshipped. We have to take the interpretation of soul as a personality out of subjective thought and replace it with the true sense. We should declare often, there is only one soul, and that is my infinite, incorporeal, supreme God. Soul is my God, and my God is soul. Amen. It is presently 25:07:15 at 1859, and we've just completed an extemporaneous prayer treatment that is entitled System 32 Planks, and this is number 2 of 32. This is the end. Thank you for listening.